You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Per sources close to me, the Super Bowl is Sunday. I have confirmed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good info.
Yep. I'll tell you, since being at ESPN, a lot of sources. Super Bowl is Sunday. We're on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU. And
was Taylor Swift more nervous last night at the Grammys, or is she going to be more nervous on Sunday watching her man play in the
Probably
Super Bowl?
Probably on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday for sure.
No control over it.
Because she knows she's got it in the bag.
She knew she had all them Grammys in the bag.
She knew it. After the summer she had, no way. She wasn't going to win. But she can't control the outcome on Sunday, so she's probably more nervous.
Okay.
She did exactly what I told you she would do. I was so happy. I love her at award shows. She sings along with everyone else's
songs.
She
did that.
And she's so respectful towards other artists and has such a level of appreciation towards other artists. When Miley Cyrus is singing Flowers and she's singing in the crowd with her, I find that to be awesome. I find that to be such a sign of respect for, like, hey, I know I'm great, but so are these people as well.
Yeah, and that's cool, but standing up and singing along at every single song, every single performance,
it just seems
a little bit too much. Like I get it. Like, you want to big up all of the other artists, especially all the other ladies that were doing it. Because let's be honest, the ladies dominated the Grammys last night, and they deserve to because they make some amazing art. But you can't have every song, every performer be a jam. It can't. Every single one of them can't be your bop. Like, it just can't be. If you continue to do it, it starts to feel overdone.
Like, and
it becomes, yeah, it becomes disingenuous. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm being overly critical of Taylor Swift. But I'm one that actually thinks that Taylor Swift is a great thing for the NFL.
I
think that her being a part of the storyline going into Super Week is absolutely amazing. I want them to show her throughout the entirety of the pregame and the broadcast because I think it's amazing what she's doing for football.
I had a moment last night. I was watching the Grammys and the Heat Clippers here on ESPN simultaneously.
Ooh.
And
sorry for your loss.
That's all right. You
should be used to it by now, though.
Which one do you mean? Do you mean the Heat?
My team has a better record than your team.
You should be used to it.
Better
are you
record
talking
than
about
Lakers?
The Heat or when you beat his Patriots in the Super Bowl anniversary?
Okay,
today?
Both. Sorry for your loss.
Keep it moving. So there were three moments I had last night, or three different people. I'm like, they still got it. Okay, Kawhi Leonard still has it.
Yeah.
Tracy Chapman. I don't remember
amazing.
The last time she performed, but I don't think she was perfect on every single note. She may be up there with one of the great voices of all time, and Christina Aguilera still got it. Still got it. Those three last Kawhi Leonard, Tracy Chapman, and Christina Aguilera.
What a trio.
My big three from last night of still got it moments in sports and entertainment. All right. We've been talking a lot, obviously, about the Super Bowl, but how these two teams got here relative to specifically the quarterback and roster composition. Because if you think about how these two teams got their quarterback, it's insanely impressive, right? The Kansas City Chiefs had Alex Smith, who arguably had the best year of his career. They had a bad stretch during that 2017 season or 16 season, 17, whatever it was. And then they're like, maybe we should draft somebody. And they went out and traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. The Niners lucked into Brock Purdy, obviously, but then developed him. You think about this. This is not the number one pick against the number one pick. It's not a top five pick against a top five pick. These two teams both deserve a ton of credit for how they found a way differently to get their quarterback.
Well, I'll give the Chiefs more credit than I'll give the 49ers. If the 49ers knew what they had, then we would have seen Brock Purdy a lot earlier than we did. And the only reason that he played was due to not injuries to the starter, but also injuries to the backup, right?
Well, can I ask a question?
Trey Lance got hurt. Then Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. That opened the door for Brock Purdy to step in.
Let me ask a question on that historically. Using that premise, which is fair, how do you look at Brady with the Pats and Warner with the Rams? Because they're not obvious ones. Like, lucked into it? Like, how do you look at those two initially, not what they became?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Brady at least was the backup for Drew Bledsoe, right? Like, I mean, Kurt Warner, it was a guy that they thought they might have had something in. He stepped in when Trent Green got hurt, and then away we go, greatest show on turf. This dude was buried on the depth chart. He was third going into the start of the 2022 season. And by virtue of injury, he ended up playing. And it's clear that he wasn't in no way, shape, or form a part of the succession plan at quarterback because the guy that they invested three first-round draft picks in was taken in the 2021 draft. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as if he was on the radar to play significant snaps for them. Conversely, Patrick Mahomes was a guy that they had a clear plan for in Kansas City. They had Alex Smith. They had the 27th overall pick, but they traded away future draft capital to move up to number 10 overall to take Mahomes and then resisted the urge to play that dude in the 2017 season. And may I remind folks, that was a season where the Chiefs lost four straight games during one stretch. And I want to say they lost six of seven over that span. Like that was how bad they were. And so you could have made a case to put Patrick Mahomes in to try to save the season. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. They decided that they were going to stay the course. They ended up making the playoffs. Mahomes started one game, a regular season finale that meant nothing to him. But it was clear that they had a plan on how they wanted to develop him. And when this guy came out of the incubator, he threw for 50 touchdowns and won the MVP and took him to the conference championship game. And we've been here ever since.
Yeah.
With him being a quarterback that essentially is unrivaled and unmatched in terms of his ability and his productivity.
Yeah, the Chiefs' evaluation of Mahomes, the way that they developed him, it's essentially flawless, the way that it worked out. But I will give the 49ers more credit than I think maybe other people will, not because they drafted Brock Purdy when they did as Mr. Irrelevant, but because they made the move when they needed to and remove Trey Lance from the equation. Because I think a lot of other teams may have saw something in Brock Purdy, but because of the investment that you made in Trey Lance, you may have tried to see that through and not have gone with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, decisions like that are obviously really hard to make anywhere, right? We saw odd comparison. Milwaukee Bucks are just like, this coach doesn't feel right. We're going to make this hard decision to remove him. Now, CeCe said what he said about the guy they replaced him with, Doc. But I think that is the key of like, we pay Jimmy G. We traded for Trey Lance and drafted him really high. This other guy's better. We're just going to make this tough decision.
Mr. Irrelevant is better.
He's better. We may have lucked into someone that's better. But there's two lessons that I'm curious as teams evaluate the two teams in the Super Bowl this weekend that I wonder if they're learning from. One would be don't play the quarterback right away, which we saw with Mahomes, right? Drafting a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
I think that's the more important of the two lessons to learn from the Chiefs. Drafting a guy when you want him, not when you need him. Because when you're desperate, you don't necessarily see things the clearest. You don't make the best evaluation when it comes to the player.
The second one is the quick hook, right? Like, hey, Trey Lance isn't that guy. Like, let's move on to the next guy. Now, that also could be because they had the other guy, right, in Brock Purdy that they saw that we would never have seen. But is there a lesson of a quick hook with a bad quarterback early on?
Yeah, I think so. I think moving on, acknowledging that you made a mistake, it probably puts your franchise in a better position, right? I mean, just thinking about it, like with the New York Jets, they realize, hey, Zach Wilson ain't it. We got to go do something at the quarterback position. Now, we might not love what they did, but I think everybody knows that this wasn't a guy that you were going to be able to realize the potential of the talent that you were able to assemble on this roster, so on and so forth. So I think there is some wisdom in acknowledging that you made a mistake and being able to move off of it so as to not, you know, ruin the prospects of whatever the team that you have currently constituted. So I'm with Ev on that one. It's just interesting to see how this thing plays out with Brock Purdy because while I will give San Francisco credit for trading away Trey Lance, there's a part of me that always wonders, well, just how good could this team have been if you had Brock Purdy, but also had those three first-round draft picks?
Probably pretty good.
That's what I'm saying.
If you had three first-round draft picks,
I mean, you got a really good roster. Think about it. This year, you had seven all-pros on the team, and that's not even including Nicky Bosa or Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
That's how good this team is. That doesn't include Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead. Like, this is a really, really stacked team. How much better would they have been if they had those first-round draft picks? I mean, we'll always wonder what that would have looked like, but I think in order to exercise that demon, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have to win the game on Sunday. They have to.
So I do think these two points are actually connected because I think if you draft a quarterback when you want one and not when you need one, you don't have to have the quick hook because the guy's not in the game. if you think about it, if the Packers were to make a decision about Jordan Love after year two, he's out because he wasn't that good at that point.
Sure.
They didn't have to play him, though, because they drafted a quarterback when they wanted one, not when they needed one. Because if you take the Trey Lance approach of quick hook, is Bryce Young playing for his job this year? Because he was not good last year. And the Niners, if they had a guy like Brock Purdy sitting there, would get rid of Bryce Young. Right?
I also think we should give them credit because the sample size on Trey Lance, it's not as if they know for sure that he's not going to be great. It's an incomplete.
Yeah.
And they still were willing to gamble on Brock Purdy and move on from Trey Lance. So I give them credit to do that. It takes a lot to admit that you were wrong and stay the course, making a decision that might not be favorable in the moment. And also giving up on a project like that.
Well, here's why I won't give him too much credit. Because I'm starting to wonder how long this runway is for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch if they don't break through and they don't win a championship. Like, how much longer are we supposed to go with this thing? Because, I mean, when you trade away three first-round draft picks, you're trading away your future. Mm-hmm. And that's what you did. Like, you took Trey Lance and you gave away the other first-round draft picks, and now you don't have Trey Lance either. So exactly what is your future? Well, your future is Brock Purdy, and hopefully he graduates to a point where he can elevate the talent around him. But I think all of us will acknowledge, based on what we've seen this year, that he's not there quite yet. And we all know, based on what Dan Graziano just told us in the 7 o'clock hour and what we've been saying all year, is that the window for this current core of players is closing. Like, guys are starting to get more expensive. There are going to be guys that are graduating out of this. Trent Williams is in his mid-30s. George Kittle, wrong side of 30. Kyle Juszczyk, the same thing. Brandon Ayuk is a free agent. Deebo Samuel, only been healthy 1 year out of the last four. Like, you start to wonder, how long can we keep this core of players together and how many cracks at it do we have? Because if you're running out of runway with the team and you don't get it done this year, I question – just how long Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are going to be allowed to make decisions for the 49ers. And before people say, hey, Chris, you're out of your mind, just think about this. Jim Harbaugh went to three straight conference championship games and a Super Bowl, and they fired him.
Yeah.
Just think about that now.
Relationship's different, though, obviously.
The relationship is different. It is different, and there's not friction between the head coach and the front office because the head coach picked the front office. But I'm just wondering – how long do we continue to allow this to go on in San Francisco, especially if we're saying that this is the last best chance for, you know, the foreseeable future that they have of winning a championship?
I think, obviously, as you know, Brock Purdy's a lot better already than you think he is, but I am interested in this, and I'll tease this for coming up, and we got to get to some other things, though, in terms of how you're feeling. But I want to know from you guys, do you think the Niners are good or bad at evaluating quarterbacks? Are they good at evaluating quarterbacks or bad? We know they're good at developing them. Good or bad at evaluating them? We'll get your answer coming up. It's on Sportsman.
And yes. We got to talk about just how good I think he is versus how good you think he is.
Okay.
We got to get to that.
We will. Coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, we're going to get to how you're feeling in a second. Some of the props for the Super Bowl. We had two lingering questions that we got to ask here and answer. Number one, San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. We know they're great at developing quarterbacks. In your minds, are they great at evaluating quarterbacks? Brought in Jimmy G, got rid of Jimmy G. Traded a ton for Trey Lance, traded Trey Lance. If Brock Purdy they knew was going to be so good, why would you wait to the last pick in the draft to draft him?
But they still drafted him.
I know. Yeah. That's why it's a hard question.
Well, they had a fourth round grade on Brock Purdy.
Like, and waited till the seventh. And,
well, they waited till the seventh because presumably they had other needs, but they had a fourth round grade on Brock Purdy. That's according to Jed York and Kyle Shanahan, Peter King's Monday Football Morning in America. So it's not as if they didn't think Brock could play. They knew he could play coming out of Iowa State. It was just a matter of, can we get this guy where it makes sense for us?
Right.
And they looked up, and he was still on the board when they had their compensatory pick in the seventh round. So they made the decision to draft him. So, I will acknowledge, like, they saw something in him, and they brought him in into their organization. They drafted him. So I will give them some credit for making that. Now, they ran into it. There's a little bit of luck that happens with it. And as I've said before, it's better to be lucky than good. But I would say that they're probably better at developing quarterbacks than they are drafting or evaluating quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would probably go that route as well, although you do have to give them credit for drafting Brock Purdy. I mean, just because they waited and just because the Trey Lance situation didn't work out, still incomplete, we still don't know what he's going to be if he gets the opportunity, but they were able to evaluate Brock Purdy correctly and draft him and bring him in and develop him. So I think you have to give them credit for both.
The funny thing on that is, if you look at that draft, we may look back at the San Francisco 49ers 2021 draft and say they, in our lifetime, had one of the worst picks of all time and the best pick of all time.
Mm-hmm.
If Trey Lance just doesn't play and he never starts, to draft somebody third overall to literally never start is one of the worst picks we've ever seen. To draft the guy who could win a Super Bowl with the last pick in the first round is one of the best picks we've ever seen. Same draft, same team.
There's plenty of draft busts out there.
Right, I know. But I'm saying same draft, same team, same position.
But not only where he was drafted, but what you gave up to get him.
Yeah, that's true.
That whole package is
that wasn't your pick initially.
Yeah.
All right, your question before
My question was, how good do you think Brock Purdy is? Because I have him as a top 10 quarterback. As a matter of fact, I have him 10th. If I'm running through my list of quarterbacks, Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy. Now, these are the names that I left off. Jordan Love, Matt Stafford, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, and Tua. Like, so I'm giving Brock Purdy a lot of respect, but I still don't think that Brock Purdy is a quarterback that's going to have success independent of the moving parts around him. There are only four or five quarterbacks that we would put that label on in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the quarterbacks that we're thinking of, Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, Josh Allen, and I'll throw C.J. Stroud in there based on what he did down in Houston. But that's the list. It's only those five guys. So when I talk about Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch potentially being in a situation where the walls could be closing in, I'm talking about it relative to what team they keep around Brock Purdy, knowing that there are going to be some moving parts. And I'm not quite sold that Brock Purdy has developed to the point where we can say this guy's going to have success if he doesn't have these key pieces out there with him.
I think he's closer to top five than top 10, regardless of what happens on Sunday. And I think he's closer to elevating a B receiver to an A and not just benefiting.
So you think he's closer to being
six, seven, somewhere around there than he is to being 10. And I also think that he's closer to elevating a B receiver to an A than just benefiting off of the
You've only seen him with a receiver. Yes. How do you know that?
Yes, I understand that.
Like, how do you, like,
with A plus.
Yeah, you got Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle.
I think he gives a lot more help than you realize.
And the dynamic talents of Christian McCaffrey.
And Trent Williams.
Yes.
The best offensive lineman in the world.
Okay, so give me 5 through 10 on your list, Evan, and tell me which quarterbacks you put Brock over out of this group.
Now, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Are we saying circumstantially, like with the team that they're on? Because that matters here.
What do you mean?
Meaning, if you put Brock Purdy right now on a...
I'm talking about remove, like, forget about what's around him, because that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
The things around Brock Purdy changing in the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, independent of what's around him, like, these are the guys that I want. Like, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Hurts, Dak, and Brock Purdy. That's 6 through 10.
Yeah. So... I can't believe I'm saying this, but I love Trevor Lawrence, but he's been better than Trevor Lawrence. He should not be, but he is. I now put Herbert right there with him or above because of Harbaugh. Jalen Hurts should be better, but I think it's close. He's better than Dak, in my opinion, and I love Dak.
Wow. Okay.
I mean,
he's better than Matt Stafford?
Right now. Yeah, he is. And Matt Stafford's great. And Goff is great. He's better than Goff right now.
Wow. That's
you know what? He's way more proven than Herbert. Way more proven than Herbert.
Right, but we always...
Proven with what's around it.
I was going to say, Justin Herbert had a coach that we thought was operating at a deficit.
Two coaches.
Yes,
he can't play with another team. He plays on the team he's on.
But that's the hypothetical conversation,
Will be another team, though. I guess that's the whole point. This will be another team.
Right.
Because they can't keep everybody together.
And I believe it's going to be great with him.
Just like with Patrick Mahomes, when you remove Tyreek Hill from the equation, it's not as if... He didn't play better. They won a Super Bowl after that. It doesn't really matter if he's got that number. Well, he still had Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence survived the nightmare that was Urban Meyer.
Yes.
And came back and went to the playoffs and won a playoff game with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And before he got hurt this year and concussed, then that team was 8-3.
Matt Stafford won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. he went to the playoffs with the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
So when we start... We start saying that he's above these guys in terms of the talent and what's going to happen, what he can do with the pieces around him. I'm just hesitant just because we don't have any proof of concept of that. It's just, I'm watching the games and I think that he has gotten to this point because he came from behind in two playoff games and won them. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, well, if you watch the games, especially if you watch the Lions game, the best play he made with his arm was bouncing a football off of a Lions defensive back and into the hands of Brandon Ayuk. That was the best play he made with his arm all day.
Some big plays with his legs.
Yeah
he made some big plays with his legs, but without that play to Brandon Ayuk, that comeback doesn't happen.
Right.
So I'm not trying to take credit away from him. I just want to keep what he's doing in its proper perspective. And I think we live in a world where everybody wants to go to one end of the spectrum or the other one, and I'm just not willing to do that. I'm just not. I think he's a good quarterback. Like I said, a lot of respect on Brock Purdy's name, having him as a top 10 player and above Jordan Love and Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins and Tua and Jared Goff. I'm putting a lot of respect on his name. I'm just not willing to go there and say, yeah, I think he's close to being a top 5 quarterback.
I think he's about to win the Super Bowl and probably Super Bowl MVP, so I'm comfortable saying that right now.
What happens if he doesn't, though? What happens if he doesn't win the Super Bowl?
Then he was in the Super Bowl, and he'll get his third year as a starting quarterback, second full year. Is
he still closer to 5 than he is to 10?
For me, yes. Yeah. For me, he is.
Okay.
Let's get a couple of how you feelings in here and Super Bowl props. How you feeling about Brock Purdy, 242.5 passing yards?
Ooh, I'm going to go with over. The San Francisco 49ers are notoriously getting out to slow starts, and our very own Joe Fortenbaugh talked about that a little bit on Friday when he joined the show. And so I think this ends up being the same. They get out to a slower start, and Brock Purdy is trying to throw his team back into the game.
Smalls, how you feeling about Patrick Mahomes? 260.5 passing yards, over, under.
I think I'm going to go over. I'm not going to doubt Patrick Mahomes on anything ever again. I don't think he's not capable of anything, so I'll definitely go over.
All right, CeCe, how are you feeling about Travis Kelce, 70.5 receiving yards?
I'm going to go under. He's the guy that the 49ers defense is going to circle in red ink. They're going to try to take him away. Other receivers are going to have to step up, so under 70.5 receiving yards for Kelce.
Smalls, how are you feeling about Christian McCaffrey, over, under 89.5 rushing yards?
Ooh, he's obviously such a huge part of this, and he had an average of 91.2 rushing yards per game this season, so I'm going to go over.
CeCe, how are you feeling about Deebo Samuel, over, under 56.5 receiving yards?
Ooh, I'm actually going to go over. I think they're going to be run-after-catch opportunities for Deebo. He's real physical, and we know that Chiefs defense has no problem leaving their corners in man-to-man coverage, and we know that Deebo Samuel is great when it comes to short area quickness, those shorter and intermediate routes. So over 56.5 receiving yards.
All right, very quickly, we got two more. George Kittle, Smalls, 47.5 receiving yards. Over, under. How you feeling?
I'm going to go under on that one. I think they're going to spread it out a lot, so I'm going to go under with George Kittle.
Last one, the guy is a beast, Isaiah Pacheco, 67.5 rushing yards. Over, under.
Over. The San Francisco 49ers run defense is suspect.
He had 68 yards versus the Ravens, so.
How you feeling?
Yeah.
Over, under rushing yards, or all yards there, I should say, for some of the skill position players in the Super Bowl. Coming up, terrible injury for the MVP of the NBA. Will he play again this year? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, Your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
Unsportsmanlike.
Why do I need to see each individually sliced piece of bacon? Like, that doesn't
there
make any sense.
There has to be a reason for it, right?
But what's the reason?
I don't
if they
know.
Sell it other ways, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's like, are you showing off every single slice of bacon?
Bacon is packaged this way to extend its shelf life and maintain freshness.
When I go to the store and get a pack of bacon, I ain't like, man, I need to save this bacon for next month.
Smalls is so fun on the air and great and everything. And then when you get it to like really newswoman mode is when looking up packaging of bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Like, well, according to sources close to me,
yeah.
Bacon is that was amazing. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Give me my Sports Center voice.
Yeah, seriously, you just did your Sports Center voice for bacon packaging is what you did.
Bacon is packaged this way to ensure the freshness. It's all in the cadence. Mm.
Michelle Smallman, ESPN.
ESPN.
Well done, Pat. Well done. All right, so, well, this is not well done for Pat because he's a Philly sports fan. So Adrian Wojnarowski over the weekend reported that Joel Embiid, of course, is the reigning MVP, is undergoing a procedure to address a left meniscus injury in the coming days. That's what the team announced. He's expected to miss an extended period of time, but a more precise timeline isn't expected until doctors complete the procedure, sources said per Woj. CC, we need to tap into the brain of someone that played 11 years in the NFL and has had things worded this way in and around you. What does that mean in layman's term for Joel Embiid's
future? We ain't going to see him no time soon, if at all, this year. That's what that means. I mean, we're talking about a 7-foot guy that has a meniscus issue. The meniscus is essentially the shock absorber for the knee, for the body. Mm. Like, that's what it is. And so when you start having issues with that, that's going to take some time to heal. If you're the 76ers, you can't try to rush him to get back for the playoffs. I think you have to take a long-range view in terms of what you need to do as a team, which would lead me to believe that this week at the deadline, they'll be sellers as opposed to being buyers. And what you can sell is the opportunity to get some guys to take on some cap space for other teams, or bad contracts for other guys. And you can get draft picks in exchange for that. Evan, you brought up this idea earlier in the show, and I think it's exactly the path that the 76ers should go down. Because they only have three guys under contract going into next year, I think their position has to be take on bad salary and get teams to give you first-round picks for your trouble. And that way you could use those picks in order to trade for another star to come join alongside Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid in the next season, 2024, 2025, and beyond. I don't think this is a situation where you try to salvage this year by bringing on a player that doesn't necessarily, you know, complement what Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey do. I think this is the point in the season where you have to be sober-minded and make the best long-term decision for the franchise.
I don't want to go doomsday scenario, but I'm kind of wondering if it's ever going to happen for Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. It just feels like it's always something. You know, he's playing great. We're talking about him as another MVP, arguably the best season that he's put together up until this point. And then this happens. They're poised to be able to push all of the chips in and really fortify themselves as they head into the playoffs. And then this happens with him. It just feels like he's kind of snake bit there, no?
I think there's an argument. There's no question about that. And they've tried a lot of different ways, right? They had,
yes,
through the process, Ben Simmons there, Markelle Fultz, obviously didn't work. They then say, okay, well, let's go get James Harden. That didn't work. Then they say, okay, let's make moves to get pieces around Joel Embiid. And now that they have developed, to their credit, they drafted and developed Tyrese Maxey into an all-star player. And it's not that that didn't work, but he's hurt now. And he's always hurt in the postseason. Again, he's not trying to get hurt. He's a phenomenal player. But they're almost at the point now where you have to get someone to be their best player that's not him. Even though he's always going to be the best player, almost operate under the, how do we get someone to protect us against the fact that he's unfortunately hurt a lot? And can Maxey be that guy? I'm on board with the idea of them adding bad salary. The question is, how bad, how long is that salary, and how much do you need to do it? For example, one of the worst contracts in the league that people are saying is Zach LaVine, who's now out for the season with the Bulls. Would you take two first-rounders to take on Zach LaVine? If you're them?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You're adding the bad salaries, but those bad salaries aren't going to be around long because you're going to package those guys
correct.
With the picks in order to bring over whatever star that you really want.
And if you get enough, you'll have more left than when you started.
Exactly.
Right? You'll do the same trade somewhere else.
That's the whole point. So
there's nobody that's off limits for you.
No.
Name a bad salary. If you give me three picks to take them or two picks to take them, I'm good to go.
Yeah, because I think they have something like three tradable first-round draft picks right now by virtue of the James Harden trade and the Ben Simmons trade. So I think this is a situation where you're looking at it if you're the Sixers and you're saying to yourselves, hey, what can we do? What salaries can we take on? How many picks can we get so that we have plenty of ammunition this summer to go after the star that we really, really want, a guy that fits what Embiid and Tyrese Maxey are trying to do and where our program is overall trying to go. Somebody that Nick Nurse would be on board bringing in. So I think that's the part that you have to rely on, and you just look at the remainder of the season as not necessarily a throwaway, but an opportunity to allow Tyrese Maxey to grow into his own. But the biggest caveat to all of these scenarios that we're laying out is Joel Embiid being on board with whatever decision you make as a franchise.
Exactly.
And that's the part that you got to sell him on, because it felt like this was an opportunity for this team to actually break through. They've had the second round of the playoffs be their ceiling for the last 3 or 4 years. It felt like this was the year it was going to happen. You had the best coach in the Eastern Conference of all the teams that we consider contender. Remember, the Bucks are a disaster, and then nobody really believes in Joe Mazzulla with the Boston Celtics. So you had Nick Nurse, a championship-winning coach, and your team was kind of right there in that third or fourth seed in the Eastern Conference standing. So it just felt like it was the perfect storm in terms of everything coming together for them to break through. Not to mention, Embiid was averaging over 35, 10, and 5, and he would have been the first player to do that in the league since Wilt. So, like, I mean, it felt like this was going to happen, and then you have this injury derail your season. So I don't know if Embiid looks at this as a situation where it's just bad luck, or if he looks at it as a situation where it's never going to happen for me here.
Yeah.
And why not take advantage of the twilight of my prime and go into a team that's closer to winning a chip?
Yeah. The plan that we have laid out, I want to be clear. The taking on bad contracts to add picks, I don't believe they're going to do. I'd be surprised if they actually take our advice on that. I think they're probably going to stay the course or try to add pieces. So then if Embiid does come back, but if they know 100% certain that he's not coming back at all this year, that's when you really start to consider that in this scenario. But, I mean, how can you right now even think they could beat the Knicks, the Cavs, the Bucks, the Celtics, and you're not going to pick them over Miami if Miami gets in the playoffs like with this team like this?
No, you're not.
No Embiid.
You're not. But I guess to your point, I'm not sure if they would go down this road, but the downside to not doing anything is scarier to me, because if you've got all of these expiring contracts coming off your books, if you're getting rid of Marcus Morris and you're getting rid of Tobias Harris and you're getting rid of Korkmaz and all these other deals, like, you just have cap space. Cap space is just air until you get somebody to fill it in the contract.
Because nobody hits free agency
and
anymore.
And the contracts that you would want, the guys that would be eligible to sign free agent contracts, aren't guys that you want to lock in long term. Ask the Knicks what they did with cap space when they traded away Kristaps Porzingis.
Right.
They thought they were going to get Kawhi Leonard. They thought they were going to get Kyrie Irving. They thought they were going to get Klay Thompson. None of those guys came to the Garden. And yet they've had all of these contracts that have had a lot of flexibility, but they haven't been able to fill up, you know, the Garden with the requisite stars that it takes in order to break through and get to the championship rounds. Sorry, Nuno, it's just true. So I guess my point is, if you're the Sixers, why would you even want to entertain going down that road? To me, you do something definitive So you let Joel Embiid know that you're being proactive about trying to surround him with the talent that it's going to take in order to beat the Boston Celtics, in order to beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
And I think to have – let's spin it positively with this season being lost, right? Because this is kind of, in a way, it's the exact same argument that you have been making, CC, around LeBron. Is you don't have teams in the NBA with star players, a big one and two, because we don't really have a big threes anymore, but a one and two. Also loaded with picks. What we're saying is Philly could have Embiid, Maxey, and tons of picks if they do this thing. Your whole LeBron scenario of the hypothetical of trading him and then ultimately him coming back is a one and a two and tons of picks. You either see a one and a two and no picks or tons of picks and no one and no two. And that's where Philly has an opportunity to say, all right, well, sadly, this is a lost year, but we can now be that team with a one and a two and lots of picks. Our Unsportsmanlike moment plus Canty's best bet coming up next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, CeCe. Best bet tonight. All you really have, you have NBA, NHL, college basketball. Where are you going on this?
We got the gambit, but you know I like the association. So we're going to go back to the association. And we're going to go to the LA Clippers coming off of a big win. I don't know how big it was for them, but it was a big loss for the Miami Heat. We're going to go back with the LA Clippers, second night of a back-to-back. We're going to roll with the Clippers over the Atlanta Hawks. But here's the thing. I'm not betting on the actual game. I'm going to bet on production from the players. So we're going to go Kawhi Leonard because it is the second night of a back-to-back under 28.5 points. And we're going to go with DeJounte Murray over 21.5 points. He's on the trade block trying to get to L.A. The Lakers are the favorites to be able to land him. So I think he puts on a show and trying to convince them to make a move. So DeJounte Murray over 21.5 points and Kawhi Leonard under 28.5 points. It pays out at plus 213, a little two-leg parlay. Okay.
If you get the Kawhi one wrong, all hell breaks loose in the NBA. That he not only plays the second night of a back-to-back, but he plays a lot.
I feel good about that. I feel good about that one. I'm just going to say, I feel pretty good about that one.
I have already said today I think the Clippers are going to win the championship, but I don't think Kawhi's playing a lot of back-to-backs, a lot of minutes. But man, oh man.
Well, he's playing in every game, so
it's unbelievable.
He's playing in every game.
It's crazy.
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's not crazy, but it's crazy under the circumstances.
Contract extensions do that. When those types of things are on the line,
he got it. All right, we have four, I think, great unsportsmanlike moments today. So you guys are gonna have to pick which one is the most unsportsmanlike. These are quirky, weird things that we see. So Tom Brady was playing in a charity golf tournament, and Tom Brady's been good at golf in his life. Not like pro-level golf, but Tom Brady teed off, and he hit the ball basically into the ground, and it rolled like an inch. We have it on ESPN U right now. So he's literally teeing off. The ball bounces right in front of him and goes maybe 5 feet.
Love it.
Looks like me playing.
He's one of us. He's one of us. Like a weekend hacker. One of us.
All right, so that's option one, all right? Option two, Johnny Broome or Auburn Ole Miss playing in a college basketball game, feels like somebody kind of grabbing onto him a little bit as he's fallen. And he realizes when he turns around who the someone is. The someone, so the ball goes towards the out of bounds. He kind of falls out of bounds. He feels a hand coming at him. He slaps the hand back. Like, what are you doing touching me? And the hand trying to prevent him from falling into him is Morgan Freeman. And then Johnny Broome's like, oh my God, I just slapped Morgan Freeman. Sitting courtside of Auburn Ole Miss.
The Shawshank Redemption.
Seriously. Let me
go back and apologize to Morgan Freeman. I'm sorry for hitting your head like that, sir.
That was amazing.
I thought you were somebody else.
That was amazing.
circle back.
But can you imagine the fear when you turn around and it's Morgan Freeman? It's not just a regular person. It's Morgan Freeman that you'd swatted away.
Yeah.
I can imagine the anxiety that pops up as soon as you see who
But you know
is.
What? Heat of the moment, that's your natural reaction.
Yeah,
like,
do it.
I don't know what's happening behind me. Somebody's grabbed me. What's going on? And then it's Morgan Freeman. Presumably to say something nice to you.
Probably.
It's like, man, I feel like a terrible person now.
Because
I slapped Morgan Freeman's hand like that.
So American treasure.
Right?
We've seen a lot of fans try to distract players from free throw attempts, right? Like whether they wave their hands, they put up signs, they do crazy things, whatever. Oakland men's basketball fans had an interesting approach to distract the opposition from free throws. A bunch of shirtless dudes shaving a guy's head into a plastic bag while the opponent is shooting a free throw. It looks like Cleveland State is shooting a free throw, and behind the basket, shirtless dudes shaving another guy's head.
I mean, but you got to do it for a rivalry game, right? This is a once-a-season experience. This is pull out all the stops because you can't grow your hair back that fast, dog. You can't do it every single game. So I guess Cleveland State is the big rival? Is that what it is?
It is now,
I
guess.
It has to be. I mean,
that's pretty distracting.
I don't know how you make free throws under those circumstances if the guy is shaving his head. First of all, how do you get the Clippers in past security?
I thought the same thing.
How does that even happen?
And they had the bag. They were prepared. They had thought all of this out to where, you know, the hair wasn't going to be all around them after they did the haircut. But I thought the same thing. How are you going to get those Clippers inside?
Well,
I appreciate the commitment because that's a heck of a thing to shave off all your hair to distract from free throw attempts. But the question is, how many of them is it? Because that's got to last the entire game. So there's that part of it.
Yep.
And then how often do you have a contingent of students that are willing to do that?
Now, maybe you connect the dots. How do you get in somewhere where you're not supposed to get in, right? Oakland is in Michigan. Connor Stallions bringing in the head,
oh,
the shaver.
Oh, Evan.
Is it possible?
The question
he
is,
got to the sidelines of Western Michigan or Central Michigan.
The question is, did it work, though? What was the team?
Oakland did win.
What was the team free throw shooting?
Okay, I have to check the box score
now.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Like, was not prepared for the follow up.
Have to be honest. The follow up, like, did it work? That's what we all want to know. Like, what happened?
Yes.
Like, if they're doing all of this, I'm gonna smuggle in some Clippers.
And I'm
gonna get a dozen or so guys, and we're all gonna shave our heads when the opposing team is trying to shoot free throws under the basket, like. That is a heck of a commitment. And then how does this work out? Like, is it like one group under one basket and the other group under the other basket because the teams change ends of the court with the court, like with the halves? Like, how does this all work?
I have
so many questions about it.
All right, here you go.
What we got?
This is actually remarkable.
Oh, great.
So Oakland from the free throw line in this game against Cleveland State on Saturday was 23 of 23, 100% free throw percentage. Cleveland State, 8 of 13, 61.5%.
Whoa.
It worked. The lack of distraction one way and the distraction the other way.
It's only crazy if it doesn't work.
Now,
speaking of great games on Saturday, although they lost, Steph Curry dropped 60, okay? 60 points, which for Steph Curry, he's Steph Curry, right? Like, he's done things like this before, but maybe your uniform after the game, you'd want to keep it. Unless Lindsay Lohan was there, because that's where Steph's jersey went after the game. That, of course, you see Steph Curry taking off his jersey and hugging Lindsay Lohan, who was in attendance for the Warriors-Hawks game. Because why wouldn't she be? The native New Yorker going to the Warriors-Hawks game.
In Atlanta.
Does anyone know how and why behind this?
Is she on location? Is she got a movie coming out?
That I don't know, but I just want to say I am so glad to see Lindsay Lohan back on the scene and thriving.
There you go.
She looks great. Happy to see her doing so well.
I agree. I'm Team Lilo, too. I agree.
Evan, it's Lilo.
No, for me, it's Lilo. Is it really Lilo?
Yeah.
I always thought it was Lilo the entire time.
Wrong, wrong.
It would make sense.
Wrong,
but
wrong, and you'd be wrong, and you would be wrong, sir.
She's had great movies. I'm sorry,
Mean Girls, Freaky Friday,
Georgia Rule. Is that what it's called? Yeah,
that one I'm unaware of.
With Jane Fonda.
Not familiar with that.
Oh, tremendous, tremendous. Yeah, so there you go. Which one is the most unsportsmanlike moment of the day?
Oh, Tom Brady with the slice, right?
Really?
It has to be Tom Brady.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's got to be the haircut guys.
The haircut guys?
That's so unique.
Well, I mean,
they shave their heads.
But it's what fans do. Like, fans
not
are short
like
for
that.
Fanatic. What do you mean?
Shaving
not like
the
that?
Heads like that? I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I don't know. Bill's Mafia is jumping through tables on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems pretty mild compared to some of the other stuff we're seeing. It's creative.
That's what it is. It's creative.
I love the effort, and it worked.
It might be, I guess, a little unsportsmanlike when you're walking around campus looking like that for the rest of the semester. But
no, I think you're kind of a legend on campus.
You're a legend on campus?
You're all over ESPN. You're all over social media. You put your school on the map for that game.
I think it's Tom Brady with the slice. Quite literally, we haven't seen him be bad at anything.
That's true.
And I think he's going to be good at broadcasting for that exact
reason.
He's
going to be phenomenal.
I agree. I think everybody thinks he's going to be terrible.
I mean, you're going to look into those baby blue eyes at the scene set.
Keep talking.
That's going to be it.
Keep talking.
That's exactly. And that's what you're going to say to your screen when he's on doing the game.
Look at him.
Just keep talking, Tom.
Keep talking to me. By the way, I think you pointed this out. Cece, I actually think you pointed this out and I didn't pick up on it.
Get a room.
Yeah, geez.
Wait a second. If we show this video again on ESPNU, was this the third guy whose head was shaved?
Yes.
Yeah, all the guys had
I didn't pick up on this. Yeah,
There's like 10 guys. That's what CC was saying.
Yeah, I know.
How many guys you were saying that.
I didn't realize how many different times they actually did this.
They did
how
many
this. This is the most unsportsmanlike.
How many guys does it take to get the other team to miss 5 free throws?
Well, at least 4.
It's more than 4. It's like a dozen guys back there. It's a bunch of guys.
Yeah, that's it. That's the winner. That's the
so
most unsportsmanlike
moment.
Look at all those kids right there.
I didn't pick up on that.
Look
you're
at all
right.
Of them.
That's the most unsportsmanlike moment. Greedy coming up next. We are on to Tuesday. We are unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, ESPNU. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.